Good evening. We are on the air with Johnny Rags and Recovery House Living. Artie, our ever-capable engineer. It's good morning from him. Yeah. And our guest tonight is Mark Rizzo, a good friend from our recovery excursions. And I got great news. The Angels won yesterday.
Woo!
Woo! Give me some of them sound effects. Artie's building his repertoire over there. Well, welcome to the show. And like I said, I have Mark. Welcome to the show, Mark.
Thank you. Feels good to be here.
City of Angels Recovery Radio, www.coaradio.com. And we do a lot of neat things here. You can find out, check out our website, www.cityofangelsnj.org. We do a lot of neat stuff here, and we continue to improve on our services. We do family groups, recovery meetings. We have a show just about every night on the radio, and here we are. If you'd like to call in with any comments or questions for our guest or myself, 609-241-7103, and welcome to the show. So, Mark, we've been talking about you coming on the show for a while now. Here we are. Welcome.
There it is. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Feels good to be here. Another day.
Yeah, I hear you. So we're going to get Mark's experience. Mark went through the Recovery House process, and we have some questions for him about, you know, what happened, how he got there, and what his life is like today for him. So what happened?
Oh, what happened? What didn't happen?
You were telling
really?
Me on the way
yeah,
here.
Yeah, I was going to say we're driving here from like Levittown area, right? And passed through a couple places that I used to travel through that I barely remember. But really, what happened? Just my life in general. Not a lot of good, I would have to say.
Mm-hmm.
I say I happened. Looking for the next one. Always the next one. And like you said, we were driving through, and a couple things popped in my mind. You know, places I broke into, jobs I lost, stupid things I was doing, losing these jobs and being homeless a couple times. And that's really what happened to me. My low was, you know, the feeling of I wanted to die, to be honest with you. And it didn't matter where it was. I mean, it happened here in Jersey, but it happened in Philly. Yeah. It happened everywhere.
Well, because you were there.
Yeah, there it is. Like I said, I happened, really. It was me. The biggest problem in my life was always me. I was always the constant. And it took 26 years to figure that one out. But thank God. Thank God I did.
Don't touch nothing, Art.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and same with me. Like, I grew up in Philly, and South Philly, and you know, I always wondered what was wrong with me, and I never really knew, you know. So I kept rolling along, you know, and I never really put two and two together that it was because of my behavior in my addiction that I got in trouble all the time. Never said, well, maybe it's because I'm using a little too much, or maybe it's because of the lifestyle, you know. I never thought like that. I don't know. I was in my own little world, and, you know, just for the next one, like you said. And it's pretty dark and lonely lifestyle, you know. And
specifically, I just remember this liquor store that we didn't pass it, but yeah, I'm just saying. But it's something that, you know, I think back now, and even driving through, you know, I really realized after I passed through, you know, went through Bordentown, a place I used to work, live, kind of. But I was on my way to work one day, and I had to go to the liquor store, like I always did, and I was buying my liquor. And the woman behind the counter goes, do they know? Because I'm in my work uniform, and I'm buying a couple of bottles. I'm getting a little airplane guys. And she says, do they know? And I'm like, do they know what? What is she talking about? You know, do they know? You know, and I
who
think back
they,
now,
anyway.
Yeah. You know, what's this? Are. What is that supposed to mean? You know,
right.
It probably
right.
should have been a red flag, you know. But my go-to answer was, oh, no, it's for after work, you know. Automatically, the red flag's up that, oh, they might know. but you know, don't get help, hide it.
Right.
So it's
keep it quiet, keep it a secret.
Mm-hmm.
Like they didn't know anyway.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I was the last one to know it. So. Just how it was. I mean, I was so caught up in doing, being in so much self-centeredness that I never really actually looked outside myself. It was weird, you know. And following that, you know, the addiction, just doing what I thought I needed to do, never having a say in the decision-making process. Like, I don't want to go cop. I never said that. I mean, I might have thought it, but that was not an option then, you know, because what I was doing, it made me physically sick, and I didn't, you know, we weren't going to have that. So, you know, I was justifying my existence is what I was doing, really. You can relate to that, huh, Art? Yeah, Art is a good guy.
I like Art.
Yeah, everybody likes Art. Yeah. I think everybody. Yeah. You should have saw this guy yesterday at the field, man. He was all over it. How'd that come out?
So it came out okay. I would hope it would have came out better. Next time I think we're going to video the game, piece it together.
Yeah, it's probably best to do it like that. But I was, this guy was, man, you should have saw the sweat dripping down his face. And he had a selfie stick, right? Could I reveal our secrets on the air? Art?
Nice. Pulling out all the stops, huh?
And took the video of the game, every inning, every pitch. There it is.
Wow, there it is.
I thought it was attached to his hand, the way he was using it. But it was good, and it was a little high. I had to bail. There you go. Yeah, I think we should do that. That would be awesome. But some people have a radio face, so, yeah. So our guests, you know, we have to make sure that they're, you know, they can appear.
Yeah.
So, City of Angels, they decimated Perth Amboy yesterday. I mean, it was a great game, right?
It was a great game.
Yeah, it was...
Boys were on.
Yeah, they were. 7-2 final yesterday.
Hey, yo.
We killed it. So I was happy about that. And, you know, we got good things going on around here. So back to you, Mark. You started telling us about...
what happened,
you know,
huh?
Your life, how it was before you got right.
Well, that was kind of me in it. I'm thinking about before drink, before drug, you know, mm-hmm. before them... The tendencies that I can think back now, I look back at now, and I realize that it was me, you know. It was always there. I just didn't have a solution. And I don't know if it sounds odd or not, but it was, like I said, before any substance. I was like 6 or 7 years old, and I was literally scared to go to the bus stop. Like, it was 5 houses down. The stop was at the end of my street, the end of the block. And I went to a different school than the other kids at the stop. So I would get out. And I would walk about 2-3 houses, and I would just stop 2 houses in front of them. There they are, right. Like 30 feet away, and I just wouldn't go near them, scared. And, you know, I ended up convincing my parents. I was a little kid. I mean, I was 6-7 years old. And they would drive me to the bus stop every morning. And then I found baseball. It's funny you're talking about, you know. But I love baseball. That was my thing. And that's, you know, that was my solution for a very long time. And it worked. You know, I was good. It gave me friends. I was something good at. So I stay good at this. I'm going to keep friends. Got girlfriends. I had good friends around me. And so I thought. And then being alone, I was never okay with myself. I wasn't even okay with myself with them. I feel like it was maybe in the middle of the game, I was okay. You know, it kept my thoughts not on craziness. You know, I didn't have to think about anything else. Just play the game. All right. I could do that.
All right.
Game ends, you know, it doesn't last forever.
Right.
You know, that's can't play baseball all day and night, right? Yeah. So, I mean, I had to grow up, and I just didn't know how to do that.
Well, as you were saying that, I can remember walking off the field. We used to play some night games. I was in a couple different leagues, and you know, it'd be 10:30, game's over now. Everybody's gone. And here I am walking to the car, taking my spikes off, and thinking, now what? Yeah. Now what? And as you were saying that, I was thinking of that. And, you know, you're talking about a 10, 12, 13-year-old kid who has to think like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I played hockey a lot. I played high school hockey and played in a bunch of leagues. And it was pretty much the same thing because we played late at night because, you know, you could only get ice time, you know.
Certain
times of the day or night. So, you know, and we'd have practice and we'd. But it was the same thing. Like, now we got to go home. Now what? And I didn't want to go home, you know, because it wasn't really all that great there either. So, and I always felt lonely, and I always thought that I was different from other kids.
I can relate so much to that. But it was weird. Like, my thought was I was different, but I wasn't, like, I didn't think everyone else thought that way. My mind told me that you're different and everybody knows it. So don't even try. Like, don't even try to associate. Don't even try to be normal because you're not. And they know it. You know? Like, they know it. We all know it. So be the weird dude because that's what they think of you anyways. And that's my mind. That's my mind telling me that. So I would do that. You
Isn't
know?
The
I
was, mind always right?
Yeah. I don't know about mine. But
now, mine, you know. Mine told me some weird stuff.
Thank God. Those aren't your actions all the time, right?
Yeah. Right.
So,
but back then, when I right before that, because I started using very young. My father owned a bar, and we used to back then the bars weren't open on Sundays unless you served food. So he didn't serve food, so they were closed. So we would all want to help him clean the bar.
Mm-hmm.
So when did he do it? Of course, on Sundays when they were closed. And I would go, my dad would say, who wants to go clean the bar Sunday? I'm in, I'll go. And I'd disappear down into the walk-in and take, you know, start drinking the beer down there. He had the little pony bottles of Miller and stuff and showing my age now.
Hey, I know what they are.
The oil cans of Foster.
Damn. So, yeah, I mean, and that's what I did. And, of course, it helped me to deal, helped me to really try to deal with reality. There wasn't much reality going on there, you know. And I remember, like, getting yelled at and going up to my room and shutting the door. And the fantasy was just ridiculous. As soon as I would shut that door, I could be anybody I wanted to be. And in my fantasies, I always win. So who could blame someone? But I took it too far. I brought it out into my life and believed some of the things that, oh, God, they were just so ridiculous, you know? And that's how I operated it. You know, I guess you have to make up certain things in your mind to justify the way you're living. Because I knew that people didn't live like that. You know, I knew there was something wrong with it. Yeah. So it was crazy because, I don't know, just weird.
Yeah, I can.
And I'm talking about before using, like you were.
Yeah, before.
And I think I did more sick stuff before I picked up than most of the stuff I ever did when I was using. Because it was almost, you had to do some of that sick stuff to maintain, you know, to carry on your addiction. But how are you going to explain it away when you're 8, 9, 10 years old? And that's where most of my shame came from, that. You know, and I didn't know that till I wrote a fourth and fifth step and did it with my sponsor. And all that stuff, all them years, was haunting me. No wonder I used. I didn't have to. Yeah. Well, you're hoping that, you know, you're somewhat healthy. Like, you do things with your dad. Like, he takes you fishing, Boy Scouts, all that nonsense. But that never happened with us because there was four of us, and my dad was always at the bar. So we didn't have that.
Yeah.
So if we wanted to spend time with him, we'd have to go to the bar. Which, after a certain number of years, I didn't care. I liked being there. After a while, you know.
And it turns, Dad's not even there. Well, let's go anyways.
And my mom, I remember we'd be in the car. My mother would say, go get your father. And we'd have to walk in there. And he'd say, tell her to come in. And I was like, oh, here we go. You know, and that's how our lives were, you know. And, you know, a lot of people knew me because of that, because he owned a bar. And, you know, so it was, we were kind of popular, I guess, you know, growing up. And I liked that. Feed the ego, real, you know, so.
I mean, I can relate. My dad left when I was 4. My mom remarried. And honestly, I guess it would account to my detachment, I feel like, just towards people. It didn't really bother me that much, to be honest with you. I know some people like cling on to that. It really, you know, it is what it is. That's what he decided to do. But he went and opened up a bar. And when I was 11, it was the first time I remember. I found out later from a couple friends that it's not the first time I drank. But right. I remember it to be the first time with him. Kind of like what you said. Like, he closed down the bar early, and we played pool. Go behind, make yourself something. And I did. And I didn't know what the hell I was doing. I didn't know what I was doing. And I poured a beer in a glass, and then I got a bottle of liquor. And I dumped the liquor in there to put the foam down because I didn't want all the foam. Yeah, it was just not too bright. But and again, it wasn't like no eureka or anything. It was just like kind of regular. And something you were talking about, I guess the idea that it kind of runs out. Like I didn't have a solution. Like that's why I did weird things, you know, before a drink, before a drug. I didn't have my solution. You say you can look back at it now and you do a fourth and fifth. And that's, you know, how I look at it now. That was my out. And baseball ran out on me, you know. I started deviating away. Like my tendencies were like drawn more towards that craziness, the chaos.
Yeah.
The what's this? Let's do this until it's burnt out. Like that's how I.
Yeah. Well, I never knew what it was like. Like if it was quiet, like that was an upset for me. If it was quiet, I always had to have noise and chaos. Because if that wasn't going on, something was wrong. So, and I remember, you know, going over to my friend's house, and he had loving parents. They were, you know, they had a pretty healthy family unit going on over there. And I went in his house, and they would hug him and tell him they love him. And, you know, and I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking, are you kidding me? So we get out of the house, and I'd say, what's wrong with your family, bro? And I really meant it. I believed that. So I was shown that, you know, the dysfunction. And I had a dysfunctional family because I was in it.
There it is.
It wasn't them. It was me. So, and we were all the same. So we all fed off each other's sickness. You know, when you talk about it being a family disease, everybody was twisted. You know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that was... you know, I learned a lot of shortcuts early on, you know, and the way my dad's lifestyle was, you know, he was into a lot of things and he had money and I liked that. You know, I liked money and nice clothes and cars and we always had a Cadillac and all that. And, you know, I remember saying, man, when I'm 16, I'm going to buy a Cadillac. And I did. Of course, it was all illegal money, but you know, we don't have to know that.
Yeah.
But, you know, and that was the lifestyle. So, all right, let's talk about, have you been in treatment more than once or?
No.
No?
No.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, so we'll gets to the point where, yeah, like, don't know how to live my life. I wanted to essentially die. And then it's actually funny, again, around this area. I lose a job, and I end up having to move back home with my mom. And, you know, she put rules and stuff on me, essentially kind of like a recovery house or like a rehab would do. And I wasn't following them, you know.
Of course not.
You know, they actually got a security system, yeah, for me. It wasn't like to keep out burglars or anything. It was literally right. just to keep a hold on me, you know, a decent neighbor. It wasn't even like – it was literally just to keep track of me. And I still couldn't follow the rules. And eventually they had intervention. And I won't forget that. This guy – I get woken up by my friend, and he comes in. He's like, oh, what's up? I'm like, what's up, Jake? We're going to go outside. I'm going to smoke a cigarette. He's like, just come. Just come. I'm like, all right, let me put some shoes on. He's like, you don't need shoes. Don't need shoes. Wow. Like, all right, you just want to hang out? Like, all right, whatever. And it's like 11:30. I'm just waking up. Like, I have work at 2. And he pulls me to the living room, and there's my brother, my sister actually wasn't even there, but my sister-in-law, my family. Mm-hmm. Family's there. He's pulling me in, and there's this bald guy sitting at the end of the table. And I just stopped, and I stared at my friend, and I wanted to knock his block off. I was not happy. And guy was like, do you know what this is? I'm like, yeah, I know what this is. You kidding me? I know. I've seen intervention. It was just like the show, just like the movie. It's the same thing. And, you know, they all read their piece of paper and stuff. But what really got through to me was when he took me outside, because I was like, no, no, no. I got work at 2:00. I'm sorry, but what does that mean? Like, I knew it. You know, what is, I'm sorry. You've all heard this. I said, I'm sorry a million times. And all I can say right now is I'm sorry. So what's the point? Yeah. Can I go to work now? You know, I was pretty much shoo-shooing everybody. And guy takes me outside. So you ever think about getting help before? I'm like, honestly, recently, yeah, but I don't have time. And, you know, I don't have money. I don't have all this stuff. And he says to me, if you don't go right now, will you ever go? And it hit me like a ton of bricks because the answer was no. If I didn't go right then and there, I probably wouldn't be sitting here today. And thank God for that, man. Thank God he said that. Thank God it hit me like a ton of bricks.
Right.
And I did. I went. I was like, you're right. You're right. Everything in my life tells me if I don't go right here, right now, I will never go. So I went, and they taught me, like, the things we're talking about now. You know, it's the problems with me, you know. I'm not a person with a drinking problem. I'm an alcoholic with a me problem. I'm an addict with a me problem, you know. Mm-hmm. I have these problems with myself. I don't know how to live my life, and I go to the solution, you know. Once I have one, I can't stop of anything. Mm-hmm. And if I go to God, you know, my higher power, then I can finally achieve something other than my selfish life, like we were talking about before.
Right.
But I didn't know all these things. Again, it was just a gradual thing. In rehab, that idea really stuck to me. And then he suggested a recovery house when I was in rehab. And at first I was like, no, nope, not doing it. Thank you very much. My idea of rehab was like, all right, I'm going to learn how to drink. I'm going to be that guy. I'm going to come out, and I'm going to successfully use. I'm going to be successful now, right? All they're doing is just like kind of like revamping me, that I'm going to be this guy who can do it, because that's what rehab's for, right? Of course.
Best alcoholic you've ever seen.
You got it, you know?
Right.
Sign me up. Oh, that's what this is? Okay, well, then cool. Then, of course I'm in. But finding out that it wasn't it at all, you know? And it was just like, all right, well, I don't want to do this whole other. Now, I appreciate what everyone's telling me. And again, a great counselor. Says, Mark, does it make any sense for you to go back to the exact same spot which brought you in here? And she said, I was like, all right, well, no, it doesn't. You're right. So it would probably make more sense for you to go to an area like a recovery house where it's recovery oriented. You're going to be people that are like you and all shooting for the same goal.
What were you thinking when they said that to you? What was your first thought?
My first thought, like, my first thought was,
like, are you kidding?
Yeah.
That kind of thing?
It was kind of like when the guy was saying to go to rehab, you know, I was like, there's a stigma. I'm going to be that guy forever now. I'm going to be this guy walking around. Everyone's going to know, and they're going to think different of me because I'm self-absorbed, and I'm thinking about what everyone thinks of me, you know? I was so worried about what other people thought of me. I probably should have been more worried about the fact that I couldn't function. I wasn't paying bills. I wasn't living my life correctly. You know, I wasn't being a normal human being. I was more worried about, well, people are going to know that, you know, I have a problem with, like, they don't already know, first and foremost. And then, two, that all of a sudden now it bothers me because what? Because I'd be sober. And sober and then dealing with things, that's what I couldn't do, you know? I didn't know how to do that. So here I am. I'm all feared up. I'm going to have to deal with people and be like, yeah, I'm an addict. I'm an alcoholic. What? I don't know. I didn't like that idea. But then, you know, like my counselor had told me, like, you're going to be in an area with people who are like you. I'm in rehab with people who are just like me. And you know what? It is a calming feeling. It is a really good feeling. You talk about how, you know, I felt alone. You know, you can relate. You felt alone. Yeah. I did, in crowded rooms by myself. It was always, I'm so different. And I go to rehab where you feel like that too? Right. You do too? You can relate to me. Ah, wow. And then, okay, so there's a system for us. So it makes sense. It does make sense what she said. You know, I'm not going to go back to the same exact place that brought me into here. I'm not saying rehab's a great thing, you know, but I didn't go on into rehab on a good day. I wasn't like, you know what? It's Sunday. It's really nice outside. I'm going to think I'm going to check myself into, you know.
Well, I don't think any of us do.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so it's why would I go back to the same place where I was at when I went in there? And once that was made, that just made so much sense to me. And I'm going to go to a place where like people like me mm-hmm. are going to live and, you know, essentially learn how to live. Right. Because that's what I'm doing, you know. I'm living without a drink or a drug, and I didn't know how to do that before. No idea. It was my everything.
So we'll get going with your recovery house experience once I do our little bitty announcements. Top of the hour, you're listening to COA Radio, www.coaradio.com, and call in because we're all kind of lonely here. We need some phone calls. And I want to wish our co-host Ken's mom a very happy birthday.
Happy birthday,
Mom. Woo! Hope you enjoy it. And I want to give a shout out to my West Coast friends. They're all listening out there. Maybe one of them will call. Call us. You know, 609-241-7103. City of Angels. If you want to go and find out the neat stuff we do, go to www.cityofangelsnj.org. Okay, back to the show. You're responsible for the word of the week this week. We do a segment that Kenny does. It's a word for the week.
All right.
Because I like words. Hey, yeah. I like to read, which is, I guess it's a good thing. Yeah. They Google. I don't get it. I mean, whatever happened to the dictionary? Come on, Art. You're not that busy. So, Artie's going to be doing our word for the week. Kenny has a well-deserved night off to celebrate his mom's birthday with her. That's a very nice thing, and we wish them, again, Mom, happy birthday. We love you.
Happy birthday.
Happy Woo! Birthday.
And hope you enjoy it. And also them West Coast people out there. We're thinking about you and hoping that you're listening. And if you are, welcome to the show. Okay, Mr. Mark. Tell me about when you got to the recovery house. What did you expect? You go right from treatment?
I went right from treatment.
Door to door?
Yeah. Yeah, they dropped me off there.
Oh, and, okay.
yeah. That was something I was fighting with, too. I was mm-hmm. like, nah, I got to go home first. You know, all that
so
jazz.
You're in treatment how long?
17 days. Okay. I was in treatment.
All right.
And it was so weird because, like, I wanted nothing to do with it when I first got there. And here I am leaving, and I'm like, don't let me leave. I don't want to leave, you know, right. Which is funny. I just think it was a testament to everything they did there for me.
Right. So what do you think it is about recovery houses that makes it successful?
I mean, it makes sense. Again, for me, I have to be convinced. My mind mm-hmm. will, you know, make, you know, try to find ways out of stuff. But, you know, people who want a different way of life, you know, and they're banded together. It's gonna be like a brotherhood, really, or right. sisterhood, right. you know, whichever it may be. But it is, you know, find people like you, like I was saying before, like people that are like me, that same problems. But then other things too, like, you know, that they like the same show or they like, you know, the same mm-hmm. sport or they're into this or into that. And even if they're not, that's what's also cool right. too, is this common bond that we all talk about. And then no matter what, I'm going to have them, you know.
Right.
You know, I'm there for them. They're there for me. Unspoken. It's just kind of like known. I don't know how to describe it. Just like a feeling of we're the same.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's a lot of things that are put in to, I guess, quote unquote, the program of the house that structures our lives. Mm-hmm. You know, and we don't do well with that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I would say it's unnecessary evil. Not, right. Not evil. Yeah. But it's I say that because of what you just said, though, for me, because I didn't like structure. I couldn't do it. Like, on my own, I couldn't do it. So the idea that, all right, from this time, if you don't have a job, you got job search. Hell yeah. You got job search. You got to make so many meetings. You got to make sure. You got a chore. I got all these things now. And it's just like, what? You know, I don't want to do that. You know, and here I am almost 15 months later, and it's just, I don't have those things, but thank God I did. You know, it's like learning to live.
Right.
Again, like, I wasn't doing these things on a normal basis. Thank God these things are implemented in my life to whereas, yeah, I do them on a daily basis because it just, you know, that's what I'm supposed to do.
Right.
You're not things that I want to do, and it's not this big feeling of, oh, I don't want to do that, and, you know, that thing in my mind which will paralyze me, you know, the thing that creeps in and goes, I don't want to do this, so I'm going to sulk, go in my room, and do nothing all day and think about it. I won't do anything. Literally, that's how I was. I wouldn't do anything. And it was like fear. I talk about it so much.
Sure, and fear dominates our lives, yeah. And you know, we don't realize how much we're acting out on it when we base our decisions on fear. And you know, that ties in with what we did, why we do the show here, because we're losing too many people, mm-hmm. And the consequence of doing this with the heroin epidemic is death.
Yeah.
And too many of us, we're losing them. You know, and Kenny always talks about 10 digits. Just dialing 10 digits to ask for help. Mm. And it's really what it comes down to. You know, reach out. We reach people when we do the show. We have it as a vehicle to be able to help people who want help, you know. And I'm sure, you know, there's people out there who, you know, want to be clean, but just don't know how to go about doing it. Because when I got clean, and it was a long time ago, the first time, I didn't know what to do. Like, how do you do that? But early on, I found out how to do it, and I started making it a carnival, you know, like in and out, in and out, in and out. So, but I mean, in this day and age, there's social media. There's everybody has a cell phone. Back then, there were no cell phones. So, you know, so the times are changing, but the symptoms and the effects are still the same, and it's actually getting worse because the people who are dying and who are addicted to heroin today are younger and younger. It's cheaper. It's more available. So it's a big problem, and that's what we try to do here, is address that. But that's the problem. Let's not stay in the problem. What's the solution? Well, treatment, recovery houses, meetings, all that stuff. And, you know, when you go by, like, I'm a recovery house guy, too, and the structure was what makes them work, I believe. Mm-hmm. And the better the structure, the better the program, and the more better results you'll get. And, you know, that's pretty much, you know, some people come in here never made a bed.
Yeah, it's true.
Really. No, I mean, it's sad.
It's true, yeah.
You know, they never saw a checkbook, don't know what a checkbook is. You know, forget about a bank account. Or you either have people that never had a bank account or people that had bank accounts and owe the banks money so they can't open any new
accounts.
Yeah. So, you know, that's what we're dealing with. It's just life skills, you know.
It is.
And I believe that if I didn't go in 88 when I was in that recovery house in Williamsport, Pennsylvania, I believed if I didn't do that, I would have never survived. And it wasn't the house, it was the whole situation. Getting away, the prayer and meditation in the morning, the meetings, the people, you know, the rules. You know, and that guy that owned that house, he became my sponsor after that. He had a payphone in the hallway of the house. And if you wanted to make a call, you had to use the payphone. Because, again, like I said, nobody had cell phones. Yeah. So.
Yeah. I like it for – and it kind of breaks it down, too. You know, a lot of people that are forced, I would have to say, into rehabs or recovery houses mm-hmm. or meetings. And you'll find out who's willing. And willingness right. is huge. It's
well, you everything. Might not be willing when you get there, exactly. but as long as you keep coming, you got a shot to be willing. I can't give anybody willingness.
No, absolutely
it's
not.
It's the one thing I can't give to yeah. someone. Mm-hmm. I could give them my time. I could give them my money. I could give them my support. But I can't make them willing.
Yeah.
Wish I could, but
yeah.
I can't.
No, yeah.
I mean, I have a hard enough time being willing myself on any given day. Yeah. So that's the toughest part.
Yeah.
When you see, and it's so sad, you know, you see people almost making it and they give up and they just go. Breaks my heart, you know. So anybody that asks me for help, I'll stand on my head to get it for them because, you know, you got to act quick and you got to get it when they're asking.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you know.
Yeah.
Got 5 minutes till the word of the week. What do you got there, my friend?
Ready.
You ready now? Wow.
I have the word.
Artie is just all over that. Man, this guy. Are you like RoboCop or something?
I don't sleep.
That's why he always says good morning when we yeah. start the show.
You know, but listening to what Mark had to say about, you know, when he was growing up and, you know, worrying about what other people think and, you know, if you really realized how much other people really don't think,
yeah.
People aren't walking around going, man, he said that and oh my God. Right. You know what I mean? They're just.
Sure.
But, you know, in your own mind, you really think that. So.
It's like I see, you know, people, like they have to, quote unquote, get ready for the meeting. Me getting ready for a meeting, I'm reading some literature, and I really care less and less what I look like. Now, I don't look like a hobo, but I don't primp to go to a meeting. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's like, you know, what are you really doing?
Yeah, what are your motives, right? Yeah.
You know? And it's really none of my business what people think of me. You like me or you don't, either. It's 50-50, really. And I used to spend a lot of time worried about that. Oh, what are they going? And it would affect my decision-making process. Well, what would they say? Or what would they do? Whoever they are. So
yeah.
Really.
Yeah.
Like.
It all comes back to they.
Right. Then they. Whoever. They, yeah. They are talked about a lot. They. Whoever they are.
They mm-hmm. are.
No. We're having fun. I'm yeah. so excited about the Angels winning yesterday. 7-2, baby. We buried that team.
And that's what my word of the week ties into.
My man, I knew you were going to have something to do with that. I knew that. All right, let's have it.
Are we going
to
do it now?
Everybody's real intense waiting for you. Come on.
It's resilience.
Ooh, resilience. And that's what we were just talking about.
The ability of a substance or an object to spring back into shape, elasticity. The capacity to recover quickly from difficulties and toughness. The reason I picked that word is because all the players on the COA Angels are in recovery. And they're a win away from the championship. So that has to say something about resilience. These are guys that were probably a year ago at the bottom of their game. Mm. And today they're on the top of their game. That's pretty resilient.
That's incredible.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Really. I like that word a lot, incredible. I use it often. But resilience, run that definition by me again. I think I know what it means.
The capacity to recover quickly from difficulties and toughness.
Wow.
Hey, yeah.
That's all the people in my life I know.
Yeah.
I'm going to read something that someone sent me today, and we'll get back to our interview with you, Mark. This is someone, see if you can figure out who sent me this today. Friendship. I cannot even imagine where I would be today were it not for that handful of friends who have given me a heart full of joy. Let's face it, friends make life a lot more filling.
Brother Ken, am I right?
You're right. I'm sorry, Ken, I shared your intimate moment there with the
I can almost hear things. Him saying that.
Yeah, I can hear him saying it. So we have a real good thing here. And, you know, you're welcome to be a part of it. We come, we're here every Monday. You can sit in there. You can meet the people. You can do something.
Yeah.
You know, because volunteering, I've been with this organization for almost close to 6 years, I'm guessing. Maybe a little less. And I've always come back.
And that's nice.
Here we are. And I was telling, who was I telling? Was it you? Allison, maybe, or somebody, that there's so much love here.
It's because we're forgiving.
But you can feel the love when you're here.
You can.
I mean, I can. I could identify my feelings to that, first of all. But it's just incredible, the love that I feel from everyone, you know. And together, we do a lot of neat stuff. I mean, we help a lot of people. So,
and we never give up on you.
No.
Nope.
Resilient.
So what's your word of the week, John?
My word of the week? I actually have, I don't know what you would call it. It's three letters that stand for three words. Am I allowed that?
Sure.
Okay.
We'll make your exception since you're the host.
Carte blanche.
Since you make the rules.
Right. Okay. When someone asks me how I'm doing, I say LML. What do you think that means? What does that mean? What'd
you say?
I say LML.
Love my life.
That's my word.
I was a little slow there. He picked right up on that.
Yeah. Love my life.
Love it.
What's not to love? I mean, it brings me to tears to think about how good I have it, really. I mean, in a spiritual way, not, you know, monetarily or anything. I mean, that's nice, too, but...
That helps.
Yeah, let's not get it twisted, you know? That was pretty good. So we're real excited. When's our next game, Art?
Our next game is
listeners.
Saturday, this Saturday coming up, but we don't have the firm details on that yet. We did put a page on the City of Angels website for the baseball team, so if you click on the Follow the City of Angels Angels, it'll take you to a page that'll give you all the information about the upcoming games and championships and all the information we can pass on to you.
Okay, already told you. It's this Saturday, but...
This Saturday, we're not sure if it's going to be 10 or 5.
Right.
Keep your day open.
Yeah, keep your day open because that's important to support our guys. And I'm telling you, it was hot yesterday.
It was 95 degrees.
Oh, God.
Yes.
But we had water, we had each other, and we
had the tents. We had great company.
It was amazing.
It was amazing.
And that's what we do. And now Sunday, if there's not a game, my company I work for is having a picnic, barbecue. We're going to have food, fun, fellowship. All our listeners, you're welcome to attend. It's actually, you have to pay to park for admission. That we have nothing to do with that. We're just having our... and it's $10. Children under 3 are free. So come on out. You know, we're going to have speakers. So.
You speaking, John?
Hey, yeah.
No, you had to ask that, didn't you? We'll find out on Sunday.
Speaking at the August 31st is Overdose Awareness Day.
Mm.
And there's two Fed Up rallies that day, one in Sayreville, one in Riverside.
31st is a...
It's a Monday.
Monday. Day of the show.
Day of the show.
So there's a lot of good stuff coming up. September is National Recovery Month.
National Recovery Month.
And we have
our walk run with the Angels.
That's right.
September 20th.
Day after Pro-X Recovery Walk.
Yes, a lot of recovery walks in September.
Yeah, is that Saturday, and our walk is that Sunday, which... We will be broadcasting live.
We will be broadcasting live.
We will figure. On a podcast.
Video.
With a video, not a
Not bringing the selfie stick.
The selfie stick? Nah.
Yeah, the selfie stick. Artie's not going to ever live that one down. How much? When did you get that selfie stick?
The day before. Actually, I got it for the live stream broadcast so that I'd be able to try and pull that off. And
you never...
Actually, I think it will work good, except for this time we're going to record it, post it, and it'll be a higher quality video. Right. So.
Because our listeners like high quality. That's why they like the show so much.
It's got to be about that.
Think? We didn't get no calls. Nobody's calling in.
I know.
609-241-7103. You got 10 minutes on the show. So give us a call. Let us know what you're doing, how you're feeling, what do you think about the show, how excited are you about recovery. I know there's, you know, a ton of people that are listening are excited about recovery, right?
That's it.
I am.
Our friend from Wisconsin.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't remember her name.
That's our heroin support group on social media.
Yes.
Friend. Kristen, if you're listening, give us a call. 609-241-7103.
Tell us what you're doing.
Yeah, and already
your plans for your music fest.
Yeah, the 12 bands. The 12 steps, bands. 12 bands. Right?
Hey, yeah.
And Artie's booking our rooms, I think, next week, right, after that?
We have the flight.
We do have the flight.
Our pilot is out of rehab.
Yes, he is, and he's working the steps of recovery.
There it is.
How does that not sound promising?
Right. So, let's sum it up. Let's wrap it up, what you were talking about.
All right, well.
So you go to the recovery house. Now, you're out of that recovery house, right? You moved on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Tell us about your life today.
Life today is simple, actually. You know, you talk about before, you know, for me, chaos. I needed something, you know, at all times. You know, spinning mind was all over the place, you know. And today, life is simple. And I never realized it could even be that simple and how happy I am. You know, I accepted that I am what I am. You know, I gave myself over to a higher, greater than myself, which we talk about a lot. I went through the steps. I went through them, honestly and thoroughly. Mm-hmm. I got a sponsor who had a spiritual awakening. Myself have a spiritual awakening, and I sponsor other men. I haven't gone through the steps, and I didn't, you know, poo-poo it and go, okay, I'm not going to help anybody, as you're talking about. You know, make sure that your hand is out, like you say, because that's everything for us.
Oh, we got a call.
Clean and sober, Sean. Hello, caller. This is. We're gonna put you on the speaker. Hold on a second.
Okay. Yo, what's up, man?
Hey, who's this guy?
Yo, how you doing, man? I wanted to call up and say, hey, thanks for the airtime for my mom. We're having a good time with the family. Recovery has given me the ability to do that. And I was just thinking about you guys. I figured I'd call up and... you know, say, hey, you know what I'm saying? No sense being a stranger.
We miss you.
Yeah, you are missed. I mean, it's like...
I hear you.
I was forced into the word of the week.
Yeah, we had already take your spot for word of the week, my friend.
Yeah, I heard that. Resilience, you know. Wow. I was actually thinking of that word myself.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
So it's funny that, you know, telepathically... Artie and I connected with the same word, you know what I mean?
We're connected, brother.
Yeah, we're connected.
We're connected now.
Say hi to Mark. Mark's our guest tonight.
Hey, how you doing?
Mark, how you doing?
Hey, Ken.
Good. So I had other responsibilities to take care of, so couldn't make it tonight. I just figured I'd give you a call. I was listening. The show sounds good. You guys are doing a great job.
Thank you.
And I was happy to hear about our baseball team.
Absolutely. That was incredible. Artie did a great job podcasting that thing. He worked hard.
Did he?
We just keep throwing our technology out there.
Nice.
Yeah, the Angels came up big yesterday. It was awesome. So
good.
Yeah.
Good. Everything's good. Things always fall into place, okay?
That's right. When you're doing the right thing. And next week we got a nice show, and you'll be back, and I'm happy about that. It was just tough looking at that empty chair tonight when we walked in here, my friend.
What's that?
It was tough to see an empty chair. that, you know, you weren't in. But Mark,
yeah,
Mark,
I hear you, man.
Filled
but,
it up
you know.
Rather quickly, so he was kind of glad you weren't here, I'm thinking. But thanks for calling,
no,
bro.
At least I was hearing, you know, beats all the other alternatives when I used to make poor decisions because my brain wasn't working all that well.
Right. But
no,
I hope,
let's not forget that.
Yeah,
know?
I hear you. I'm glad your mom had a good birthday. She's got a good son. And you probably made it like one of the best she's ever had, my friend.
Yeah, she's 82 today. The family's here. It's good. It's really good. So, but look, I'll let you wrap it up, bro. Love you, Mark. Nice meeting you. Art, thanks for, you know, stepping up to the plate as usual. And I'll talk to you guys, okay? Have a good night. Thanks.
You got it, love nice you. Thanks for calling. Love you.
Happy birthday, Mom.
All right, thanks. All right, bye.
Bye-bye.
That was our ever-capable co-host, Ken McDonald. So we're going to try to wrap this up here. Alrighty, any parting thoughts or words or whatever?
We got the race coming up. We got the baseball game this weekend. It's a busy time for the race. If you haven't registered for the race, you can go to walkwiththeangels.com. All the information is there. Our fundraising is in full force right now, so the more the merrier.
Absolutely. Ooh.
Hello.
Is that one of the sound effects?
Yeah,
that you have?
It's a new sound.
Trying out a new sound effect.
Yeah, right?
Pay
it works.
Yeah. Good show. I want to thank Mark again for coming on. We appreciate our guests. Sooner or later, we're going to have parting gifts for our guests. We haven't evolved that way yet. So.
We're waiting for Oprah.
Yeah. The Book of the Month Club or something. We'll get some gimmick between Artie and I.
Here's your brand new Chevy. No.
Yeah, there you go. Our creativity is second to none, I think. So, notice I said our creativity because Artie gets the ideas and I just keep going. Yeah, yeah. So, still got a couple minutes if you want to call in 609-241-7103. We'd love to hear from you. Questions, comments, anything for myself or Mark or Artie. And, you know, got a great life. Mondays, when I get up, I really look forward to being here on Monday nights. And again, thanks for coming, Mark.
Thank you, guys.
We appreciate that. You know, don't forget to support the Angels this weekend. On Saturday, TBD.
TBD.
Time to be determined. That's TTBD. It's such a flake. Man.
It's really looking more like a 5 o'clock game right now. That was the last I heard before we came in to start the show. So.
What were they tired yesterday?
Actually,
early?
It works by the home team. I didn't know this. The home team gets to choose the start time for the game. So apparently, our boys are morning guys.
Right.
And the other team needs time to recover.
Yeah, the other team has to wait for their guys to get home from work or something. But anyway, thanks again for listening. We love having you on the show. Again, Mark, thank you. All right, thanks for all your hard work. Artie's the best. He just makes it what it is every week, and we appreciate that. And, you know, if you want to reach me with any questions, comments, jraggio@addictiontreatmentcenters.com. No, that's not right. addictiontreatmentconnections.com. I'm very tired tonight. jraggio@addictiontreatmentconnections.com. You know, we'll help people out getting in treatment or whatever. And, you know, go on our site. And
you can go to COARadio.com. You can visit our Living Clean and Sober show page. You can listen to everything on demand. Every show is available. This show will be available within the next probably 48 hours. We're going to be adding to our blog and getting more active there so we can have our guests give us their links so we can share those with our listeners.
Yeah, that's the blog.
That's the blog. We're going to get back into that.
I first heard that word, it was blog. I was like, what is that? Okay, we got
a minute left.
Music. Okay, we're going to say goodbye. Thanks for listening. Thanks, our guest. And, you know, another great show. So we'll see you next week. We got a lot of neat stuff coming up that Artie just told you about. So hopefully we'll see you Saturday. And Artie's playing with something over there. And until then, be well.
LML. Was it LML?
LML.
See you next week.